Well, just a couple things. I wasn't being antisocial today. I got a little bit of the sniffles, and I didn't want to spread the love. So good morning to everybody. And then second of all, Sherry and I will be leaving very, very soon, shortly after service today. I'm driving to Martinsville. I'm doing the funeral for a longtime minister friend of mine that passed away this week. So appreciate your prayers. He was the man that God used greatly. He was probably one of the greatest soul winners that I ever knew. I'll tell you all a quick story about him before I get in the word today. Quite a number of years ago, time flies. I just ran into a lot of old friends last night that I hadn't seen in years, but I remember being in service with this guy, and this is years and years and years ago, and he just had unique ways of bringing people to know Jesus. But I remember being in a service with him one time, and about 90% of his sermon time was spent talking about how his mother used to get up every morning and make homemade biscuits, and he would talk about slathering them with butter and apple butter and all those kind of things. And that was about 90% of what he talked about in that entire sermon. And he gives an altar call. And, I mean, like a dozen more people came to receive Jesus Christ. I've never known anybody that had such a call of God to bring people to know Jesus. Because I think if you can talk about mama's biscuits and apple butter and get somebody to come to know Jesus, you got something going on. I've not been able to do that. He and his wife have been very, very dear friends of mine in church for a long time. And Donna, would you please tell Harold and Lydia my deepest apologies for not being there today, and just tell them, unfortunately, I have to be taking care of some other things. But give Harold a big hug and tell him John wishes him a very happy 90th birthday. And I promise I will get by and sing him a happy birthday song. Hopefully one day next week, okay? All right. Well, let's go to the word today. We want to look at, we're dealing with this thing about Jesus' message to the church. And one of the things that we look at when we think about the church, and I hear this as a pastor and as a church leader all the time, I hear about the church as though it's some kind of entity that is kind of separate. You know, it's kind of like that thing like the government, you know. So when we talk about the government, we're kind of like their group of people over here that does their own things, and we don't have anything to do with that. But the truth of the matter is we're all engaged and we're all involved, and the church is not a building or an organization. It is the body of Christ, and it's made up of people that have been born again and are part of the family of God. We are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. So when we're looking at these messages, I want to go back and say that from last week, when we're looking at the message of Christ to the church, what you and I have to say, Jesus, you're talking to me. You're not talking to someone else. I've noticed something very interesting over here, and I know Pastor Pete, and we're so glad to have you home today. We've been missing you. I know you've been busy about the Father's business, and we've been praying for you as God has been using you, and I'm excited about that. But you know, as Pastor Pete and I both can tell you, over the years, we preached a lot of sermons, and I have no doubt that somebody sitting in the church was saying, yeah, so-and-so over there really needs to hear that. Or I wish somebody, you call her name, was here because they needed to hear that one. No, we need to hear that word. I need to hear that word because it's all for me. And so when we're looking at these messages that Jesus is sending to the New Testament church, or these seven churches, then we need to understand God is talking to us. So last week, we talked about this church at Ephesus. And I want to go back and just touch on that a little bit before we get to the church at Smyrna today. Because last week, what Jesus said to this church in a nutshell was, you got busy doing good things, but you forgot why you were doing what you was doing. And that's true not just in our relationship with God, it's true in our relationship with other people. There's a New Contemporary song that I love this song. It says, I don't want to go through the motions. Are there places in my life, in your life today, where we would say, I'm just going through the motions. I've lost my zeal, my enthusiasm, my desire, my reason for being. Are you just going through the motions? Maybe in your relationship with God. Maybe in coming to church. Maybe when you got up to come to church this morning, you've been doing it for so long. And I'm told, I don't know about this, but I'm told that if you do something 21 times back to back, then it becomes a habit. So maybe you went to church 21 Sundays in a row, and now it's just a habit. And you'll come to church not because you had any real desire to be in the church, but because maybe mama brought you to church, trained you that way when you was a kid, and you've been doing that for the last however many years, because that's all you know, going through the motions. Maybe in your marriage, maybe you're just doing all the things that you've been doing since you got married, and you know, you've heard this story, and it's an old one, and you know, you all are very polite to laugh at my crazy little story sometimes, but I know y'all all heard this one. A couple went to the marriage council, and they were having, you know, some problems, and the counselor said, well, what's the problem? And the wife said, well, he don't tell me he loves me anymore. And he said, honey, I told you 25 years ago that I loved you, and if it changed, I'd let you know. That's an old one. Thank y'all for being polite and laughing at my old stories that y'all heard 100 times. But sometimes in our relationships, we get so busy and so caught up in everything we got to do. And we started out with good reasons. We started out because we were doing things for God. We were doing things for our family because we were motivated by love. And now it's become a duty, an obligation, a responsibility. How do you know when it comes to that point? I'm going to give you some how you knows, okay? When you dread what you have to do, but you got to do it because you know that you got to do it, you've lost your motivation of love. When coming to church is something that you have to do instead of something that you get up on Sunday morning, I got to tell y'all something. I've been going to church most of my life, but I really started going to church when I got saved at 17. And I've been in church for a long time. I've been in church leadership for a long time. I pastored a lot of churches for a long time. I've seen the church at its worst. I've seen Christians act as bad as some sinners I've known. But I want to tell you something. Every Sunday morning, when it's time to gather together with the body of Christ, I start getting, not because I get to come and preach. I just love coming and being with the family of God because God is in our midst. And there's something exciting about being with Jesus and the people of God. And if you're not there, I'm praying that God will so move on your heart today that you will change from saying, I got to go to church and I got to do this. I can't let the neighbors know that I've become a heathen again. I got to get out of the house and go to church so they think I'm still right with Jesus. Don't want my mama turning over the grave either because she took me to church and that's the right thing to do. I want us to move beyond that and start saying, God, I want to be with the people of God because it's being with you and it's being with the family of God, and it's a little taste of what heaven is going to be like when we get together on that day. It's what it ought to be. Why do you serve? Why do you give? Why do we do all these things? And the disciples of Jesus went through those same things, remember? Peter come to the Lord one day and said, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. Don't we get something out of it? Isn't there something important? The disciples would come to Jesus and they would say things like, you know, when you come into your kingdom, do I get to be sitting on the left side and the right side? See, you know you're in trouble in a relationship when you start asking what you get out of it instead of what you can put into it. Let me say that again because I don't want that to go over your head. You know your relationship is in trouble when you're asking what you're getting out of it instead of the joy of putting something into it. Husbands and wives, I want to tell you this morning, Sherry and I don't have all the answers by any stretch of imagination, but in June of this year, we will celebrate 40 years of marriage. And listen to me, both of us are hard heads. Both of us are opinionated. We don't get into a lot of arguments, but we have a lot of loud discussions sometimes. But we've learned a secret, and that secret is you get out of the relationship what you put into it. And in the same way with God, we can get so busy doing things for each other, that we forget why we're doing. The church at Ephesus was that kind of a church. They had a lot of good things going on, but they forgot why. Jesus comes along and says to them, you've left your love. You've left your first love. You're going through the motions. Do a spiritual check this coming week and ask yourself, am I going through the motions? Or am I doing this because my heart's connected? Well, let's move to today's church. Today's church is an interesting church. Church that was going through some struggles. Everybody gets real anxious when the church starts going through struggles. I get excited. Yeah, I know. Y'all think, you know, you're saying, man, he's really sick today. Because in the struggle, in every relationship, when you're involved in a struggle, you start putting your energy and your effort into getting you through that struggle. I tell young couples all the time, going through struggles in the beginning of marriage, that's a good thing, because it kind of causes you to pull together. You know, when you're struggling financially or you're struggling with a few light problems, you start working together and you forget all this other stuff. Now, the problem with that is when you're going through struggles, you got to remember the devil gets involved in the equation. I don't know if any of you all have ever been to a carnival where they had the House of Mirrors. You ever been in one? How many of y'all been to the House of Mirrors? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you noticed what happens to you in the House of Mirrors? All of a sudden, you go from being so skinny that that if you stand sideways, you don't even cast a shadow, to being short and fat. You know, everything just gets out of perspective, out of order. And what had happened in this church at Smyrna is the devil put them into his house of mirrors, because he does us that way. Sometimes our perceptions of who we are is not what God has created us to be. It comes because we've been brought into this house of mirrors, and our image of who we are and our perception of who we are and our perception of what God has made us and what God has called us to be is all distorted because we're looking into that mirror that's not straight. God brings us into that place. So the church in Smyrna was in the house of mirrors, and they said to themselves, we don't have. I'm going to tell y'all, folks, I've heard a lot of churches over the years, and I will tell you that it is the common thing in every church, no matter the size, no matter what's going on, what I hear, we don't have. The church in Smyrna was going through some struggles, and they were like, and I've asked this question, God, we're doing what's right. God, we're serving you to the best of our ability. God, we are being used by you to touch our world, and yet, God, we are lacking everything. Besides that, Lord, we're going through a tough time. Well, I got to tell y'all some good news and bad news today. The good news is that God is always with us. The bad news is if you are being effective in serving God, you're going to have trouble. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world,
you will have trouble. Anybody here besides me, you say, preacher, I got trouble. I got problems. I got issues. I got things going on in my life that I have no control over whatsoever. I don't even know how I got in this mess. How do we deal with that? So let's look and see what Jesus says. Two things. I'm going to leave you with this today. The first thing that Jesus says, I'm in the midst. I love that about this passage in Revelation, because every church that Jesus comes to with all their struggles and all their problems, Jesus says, I want you to know I am in the midst of my people. What does that mean for me and you? That means that as a child of God, I can count on the fact that God is always going to be with me. He doesn't walk off in the middle of the trouble. He doesn't leave in the middle of the storm. He doesn't throw his hands up when I've blown it as bad as I can blow it. He gets right into the equation and he says, John, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you and be with you all the way until you get to the end. So the first promise that Jesus makes is he's not going to leave us to figure this thing out on our own. Now, I know some of us in here, you kind of think that's where God's left you, but no. God has not left us to figure it out or to manage it or to control it or to handle it or to get through it on our own. You may feel like you're alone today, but you're not. Not because you're surrounded by people, but because you're being held in the hand of the one who sees all and knows all and understands all and gets it all. Even when you don't even have the ability to explain it to yourself. His power is not limited even to our ability to believe him. He's not limited by anything that you and I can do. I've had crazy people over the years to say, well, if you don't have faith for something, you can't receive anything from God. Really? Really? We talked about this in early service today. I think it bears repeating. There was a couple old people, Abraham and Sarah, that God had made a promise to him. 75 years old, God comes to Abraham the first time, says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham said, "Ooh, that sounds like a good thing." A few years went by, nothing was happening, and like us, Abraham said, I got to fix this thing. God told me what was going to happen, but it's up to me to make it happen. Wound up having a son with one of his handmaidens. Name was Ishmael. And God comes back. Abraham, by this time, is like 98, 99 years old. And God says, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a child. Now, Sarah's over in the kitchen cooking dinner. And she hears what God says. I asked early service this. I'm going to ask you in this service this question. If an elderly couple came into the church that's in their 90s and stood up during joys and concern and said, we're expecting, what would you say? Exactly. You'd say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. What do you mean y'all expecting? You mean your grandchildren getting ready to have a baby or something? No. You don't understand. We're going to have a child. That's impossible. Left up to us. With all the technology we got, I don't know that they've been able to get a 90-some-year-old woman to get pregnant. But God says something that's very powerful. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. You say, John, what does that got to do with this whole thing about this church going through a difficult time or me going through a difficult time? Because God wants to say to us, I'm right here with you, and if I need to exercise my power on your behalf because you're my child, I'm going to do that because you're mine and I love you. No other reason. Not because you got great faith. Not because you know a lot of word. Not because you come to church every Sunday. Not because you're doing anything, but because you one day receive me as your me as your God and you as my child, and you're mine. I'm going to do this because I love you. No other reason. What he's saying to this church in Smyrna. He's saying, you think you're in poverty. And the word in poverty just means that you had need without the ability to meet that need. And God says, but I want you to know something. You're rich. Why are you rich? Because I'm there. And the word rich means to have an abundance of. Let's just define those two words. Poverty means you got a lack that you can't meet, and rich means that you got more than enough. And so what God says to this church, because I'm in your midst, you got enough of everything because I'm going to supply it. Boy, that just takes the ball out of my court, doesn't it? The second thing, and let me hurry with this. The second thing, and I don't know exactly what John was saying. I've done a lot of study and research, and I can't figure out what he was referring to. But he says that some of you are going to be tried and put in prison for 10 days. I can't find any historical data that number was put there, except to say this. I believe God was saying to this church that the days of your trial, the days of your struggle, the days of your situation are numbered. And you're going to come to the end of the trial, and you're going to come to the end of the test, and you're going to come to the end of the struggle, because, church, I believe that God puts a period at the end of our struggle and our trial and says, it's over. You passed the test. You've gotten through it. I don't believe that God takes us through ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. And I know, been there. Sometimes feel like I live there, going through the trials. And when you're waiting, how many of y'all know when you're waiting on somebody? You ever been there? You ever been the person that's waiting on somebody? Let me give it to y'all this way. I run in Lowe's or Home Depot or Tractor Supply, one of my favorite shopping places like that. And I just run in for a few minutes. If Sherry's sitting in the car, it feels like I've been in there for hours. Probably have been, because those few minutes just feel like seconds. On the other hand, if I'm sitting in the car waiting on her, I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, you mean just 2 minutes have gone by? Feels like 3 hours. Let me give y'all the last one before I sum up. It's like coming to church on Sunday morning. Pastor's just preaching along and he's thinking, I've only been preaching about 3 minutes. And you all are saying, nah, it's no more like about 3 hours. When you're waiting on God, when you're waiting on that trial to be ended, when you're waiting on the news, when you're waiting on the report that God's heard, God's answered, when you're going through the struggles, it feels like forever, but God says those days are numbered. Read your passage before we sing today. If I find my glasses here. Or if I did, well. Give me your glasses, Joel. That works. I can read with those. Okay. Listen to what Isaiah 43 says, and I'm gonna close with this. Isaiah 43, first three verses says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You're mine." I love that, don't y'all? "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God." Thanks, brother. What's God saying to us? Because we have great faith? Because we got our act together? Because we're perfect? No. He says, when you go through all these things, the reason that you're going to come through on the other side is because I, the Lord your God, am with you. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson to Smyrna, understand that God is saying, I'm with you. You're not alone. I understand. And I promise you, I can make a way that you don't even see right now. And though you feel the lack, remember, I'm the God of more than enough. And I freely give to my children.